From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha.
Yes?
You ready?
Yes.
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
God, I keep rewatching that McDavid breakaway goal last night. Oh, my God. Oilers win, Oilers win.
Now the Starzy in Dallas, and the Oilers are headed for a rematch with the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final.
I like when it's a, when two teams make it 2 years in a row. It's good drama. Really good drama.
My kid is so excited because he's a
huge
McDavid fan.
Yeah, yeah,
he was up.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you, because our schedules are so off now, like with bedtime.
Yeah,
I go to bed. He kisses me goodnight.
Yeah,
I go to bed, and I could hear him. I'm in the bedroom. He's in the family room watching the game.
Yeah,
and like screaming at the top of his lungs.
Oh, that's so cute.
Please record that.
He loves it. He loves it.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. This rematch.
Yeah,
you know what it's like. WrestleMania 3 and 4.
I was gonna say,
yeah, totally
right. Hogan and Andre.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Max.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Here, like it was yesterday.
Here is Connor McDavid.
I wonder what the next little while will be like for you. How long you will enjoy this before you look forward to the Stanley Cup Finals?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you could tell me when the game is. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a long ways away. So obviously, a lot of preparing to do. Going up against a great team. You know, the Stanley Cup champs from last year, third finals in a row. Not much you could say about them. They're great. We'll have our hands full, but we're a good team. We're a special team. And we feel good about our game.
Love it.
There you go. When does it start?
June 4th.
Wednesday.
So here's the schedule. It's weird. So they got a game Wednesday night. That's game one. Game two is Friday night. And then game three isn't until Monday.
That's a terrible schedule.
Next Saturday and Sunday, there is no hockey.
It's a terrible schedule.
Which I don't understand because hockey on Sportsnet, Rogers, CBC, like always.
It's a terrible schedule.
They're Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Thursday, which
that's
is
a
weird.
Terrible schedule.
Yeah. It's like those Saturday night hockeys are huge on those networks. I don't know what's going on.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got that alert on my phone yesterday from Pickering. 13-year-old has been arrested in the fatal stabbing of an elderly woman in Pickering. Here is Durham Police Chief Peter Moreira.
I worked in homicide for a long time, and I can tell you that an unprovoked attack like this is just unimaginable. And the woman was doing nothing but what everyone would do at front of their own home. After a brief interaction, the suspect stabbed the female in a sadistic and cowardly unprovoked attack that was captured on video.
Oh my gosh.
It's because it's rare when you get like a shelter in place over something over a violent crime. Like it's super rare that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just like during the day and this woman was just like gardening, like in her front yard. And this kid walked up and just stabbed her. And there's been a bunch of video because everybody's Ring cams and stuff like this got like he was just walking down the sidewalk afterwards. Mm-hmm. Right. Here is Pickering Mayor Kevin Ash.
I think to myself what a troubled young man he might be. I think about the burden of mental health that's no doubt affecting him. I think about how it's going to impact his family. And I'm shocked that a person so young has so much hate in them.
And they can't release his name, but it's all over because I guess everybody recognized him because there was you see his face in the video, and somebody else had put out another video. I don't know if it was him or not. He was wearing the exact same thing where it was like two nights before at like 3 a.m. trying to get into somebody's house.
Really?
On their Ring cam. I don't know. It was somebody wearing the same mask and the same jacket.
Yeah. Very long jacket, like a trench.
Yeah. So that is a crazy, crazy story. My God, 13. What the hell?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So the Gardner Expressway and the DVP will both be shut down on Sunday for the Bike for Brain Health.
Hey, great.
It's a lot. That's like, that's a crazy, like, that's like.
It happens every year, though.
I know.
Every year you act so surprised.
No, because when it's the run, it's only one. It's only like the north and then the east. But this is both because it's a track, right?
Well, yeah.
Where you go, it starts off at the CNE and then it goes like up to the 401 and then you go back down the south side of the Gardner. Well, no, I don't know. I'm just saying, it's a lot, right?
I know.
Yeah.
It's for brain health.
I know it's for, I'm going to need help with it after this.
Well, there,
like after the news?
No, like after I can't get anywhere in the city.
For brain health.
No.
They're riding for you, bro.
No, they're going to have to. Sign me up. I'm going to need some assistance. This is like a weekend ruiner for
There's
me.
There's a lot of closures this weekend.
There's a lot of everything.
Like, I'm just looking online.
Weekend.
It looks like every, like, don't leave your house.
Pretty much.
So many.
Yeah, yeah. So, so this is like 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. So, like, right after.
Having taken part in these rides before,
yes.
I know they give the, it's like 4 p.m. is when everything opens up.
Yeah.
But in most cases, they usually wrap a little earlier. Four is like the latest. Sometimes I've seen the DVP open as early as like 3, sometimes even 2:30. Right?
Roz, why don't you just use your private helicopter?
Stop. No, it's just a lot. Both north and south, east and west.
Yeah.
Come on.
What, a lot what? Like a lot of gas for the the helicopter?
No. Stop it. No. Anyway, so be mindful, okay, as they say, when you got to get down to the city this weekend, because I think there's like a Jays game on Sunday too, right?
Yeah, Jays game all weekend.
Jays games all weekend. Like it's just, okay. So Gardner, DVP, shut down both ways, 2 a.m. Sunday until 4 p.m. Sunday.
You can't tell Roz is very thrilled.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Where are we here? Nielsen. So the people that tabulate how many, like the ratings on television shows. So for the first time, they've been able to compare 35-day period from both streaming and conventional shows in the U.S. So they have a great list of the top shows of 2025 so far. Number one, Squid Game, 27 million people over the 35-day period. Adolescence on Netflix with 19 million. Then you get to Tracker on CBS.
That's a great show.
Reacher. People are watching the hell out of Reacher.
That's on Prime, right?
Yeah. 17.3. High Potential on ABC. Matlock on CBS.
Yeah?
Landman at number 7.
Great show.
On Paramount.
Where's White Lotus?
Not on there.
Really?
No, not on there. 0 Days on there. The Menendez brothers are on there. Nobody Wants This on Netflix. The Night Agent on Netflix. That American Primeval or Primeval show. I watched it. I don't know how to say it. Running Point on Netflix. The Resistance. And then Man on the Inside on Netflix. A lot of Netflix on there.
What about, and they don't count like reruns. Like older shows, do they?
What's that?
Like no, this is the top.
It's all new shows.
Okay.
The Traitor should have been on that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Sydney Sweeney is selling soap infused with her bathwater.
Oh yeah.
The bar is called Sydney's Bathwater Bliss, and it smells like pine, Douglas fir, and earthy moss.
Oh yeah.
It's being produced by Dr. Squatch. They describe the scent as morning wood.
So
Sydney was also already partnering with them, and she said that when we were there at the Dr. Squatch shoot, they had a tub for me, and I actually got in and I took some soap and we had a nice little bath, and then they took the water, so it's really my bath water. I wanted to have it lean towards my home roots, so there's this really outdoorsy scent like pine and earthy moss and fir. It smells super manly, but then there's some city bath water mixed in with it. Fans always joke, she says, about wanting my bath water. I was like, this is such a cool way to have a conversation with the audience and give them what they want.
Oh, yeah.
That's generous celeb.
So generous.
That's so generous of her, man.
Is there a cost? Is
the price? Bucks.
$8.
$8.
That's not bad at all.
Shem is a happy man.
Yeah.
He a fan.
Yeah, she's a wild one, Sydney Sweeney. Like, very few people, especially in the last, like, 20 years, have bought into her sort of, like...
appeal?
Like, just, like, the sex symbol thing. Like, we don't have those anymore, right, mm-hmm. in show business.
And it's, there are now, though. Like, even Sabrina Carpenter is also another one.
Yeah, not the same thing, no. Because a pop star is a pop star. When you're an actress and you got to play characters and you're like this, that's a different thing. Yeah. That's a different thing.
I'd say Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore?
Not in this, like...
She's, like, not saying that she wasn't, but she's, like, Julianne Moore's not in the sex symbol conversation.
Well, Shem, back me up here. Shem, back me up.
Julianne Moore
is... In this generation?
Not anymore. No.
She is 64. Yo, yeah. That's the sex symbol of me, bro. I don't know what you're talking
about. You're welcome,
Shem. I don't want Julianne Moore's bathwater. Loved woman. But I don't want Julianne
Moore for me.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Big Stranger Things news being dropped over the weekend. They released the first trailer, so here's a little bit of that.
I think about that night all the time. The night it came for you. All of this started.
Ooh, you know, I stayed away from the trailer.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see anything. I'm so pumped. Excited.
So, three release dates.
Okay, hit me.
Three release dates. Normally, they split it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's volume one, November 26th.
Okay.
Volume two, Christmas Day.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And then the finale, New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God. Wait. Have they announced within those release dates how many episodes
no
per
other,
date?
No other information. But I'm guessing not a lot, because these shows, as they go on, they get less episodes, not more episodes, right?
So maybe three, and three?
It would be three and one, right? Because it's the finale. Episode, the last episode
it'll
is a finale.
It'll probably be like movie
I'm
length.
Guessing. Yeah.
Four episodes. Three episodes.
Is that what it
one
is?
One episode.
Yeah, four, three, and one.
I find that interesting. They're going to drop it 6 days after Christmas Day, the finale.
They need that bump.
Yeah.
Why not, man?
Right? They need the, then they get
that's
the extra,
wild.
Yeah, it counts as an extra week, right? Like, so
I'm
it's.
So excited.
Yeah. And then I think maybe also because over the holidays, they will give people enough time to kind of get hype about it.
And maybe rewatch like the last season.
Well, yeah. Well, because what winds up happening is that when these shows, it was always great for Netflix because you would get this incredible rush when people first started, you know, binging.
Yeah.
Right. And like they would go crazy binging. And then what happened was you had shows that sort of went old school where they were dropping them, you know, week by week. And you found that instead of trending for a weekend, they trended for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
right? And everybody was talking about it for 3 months. And then they were like, oh, splitting it up actually works. But because you split it up, basically you get three premieres and three finales.
Amazing.
Right? So that's what. So you get that bump on the premiere and the bump on the finale. And that's how they're doing
it. I remember when they used to drop those on Fridays.
Oh.
I would come in here way earlier than I normally would, just so I can watch first two episodes to get the jump on the weekend. Oh,
yeah.
So good. Can't wait.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Dan Mavori was at the kickoff for Pride Month. Where was it? Up the CN Tower? Is that where you were?
World's highest drag brunch.
Oh, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Maury hanging out with Pride Toronto's executive director, Kojo, also Miss Fierce-alicious, and Aaron Brockovich. Here's Dan Mavori.
It's Dan Mavori high atop the CN Tower for the world's highest drag brunch with the incredible Miss Fierce-alicious. You know, we're kicking up Pride Month. It's June 1st. Happy Pride Month. What do you want to say to everybody?
I want to tell everyone to remember to be proud, but most importantly, be fierce, like me.
Yes, like you. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Hi, atop the CN Tower with the executive director of Pride Toronto, Kojo. We're kicking off Pride Month. It is June 1st. What do you want to say to everybody?
Just want to say happy Pride. No better place to be than being here today
looking at all of Toronto, all of its beauty, and to be able to say Happy Pride.
Aaron Brockovich, it is so good to see you. I'm a huge fan. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, darling. How are you?
I am good. Wow. It is June 1st. We're kicking off Pride Month. What do you want to say across Canada, everybody, to kick off Pride Month 2025?
Keep being gay. Keep being loud. It's June 1st, so pay your rent.
True.
But for the rest of the month, we're making that rent count, and we're celebrating, we're honoring our past generation and looking ahead to the future generation.
Happy Pride.
Mwah! That was so funny.
Did you just knock your nail off?
Absolutely.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, baby.
What happened?
She was like waving at the camera and knocked her hand on my microphone and her nail went flying.
Oh, damn. So early in the month, too.
I know. Damn, Pride ruined.
Thank you for that, Damon Mori.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Taylor Swift made the announcement over the weekend that she now owns all of her masters. For the first time ever. So she wrote, to say this is my greatest dream come true is actually pretty reserved. I'm actually being pretty reserved about it. The passionate support that you show talking to the fans to the Taylor's version albums and the success story you turn the Eras Tour into is why I was able to buy back my music. She acquired the masters from the Shamrock Capital, which bought them from Scooter Braun. Remember?
Oh, right.
Scooter Braun bought her masters for her first six albums.
Uh-huh.
Then he flipped them to Shamrock. She started doing Taylor's version, right, of her albums. Then she went and they became a huge success. Then she went on tour. Then she had $360 million to go back to Shamrock Capital and buy her masters back. So for the first time, she owns the masters to her first six albums.
So that means no more Taylor's version stuff?
She may wind up doing it. So she hasn't done Reputation yet. But oddly enough, Reputation, the original version, had its biggest streaming day on Spotify since its release 8 years ago.
Wow.
So as soon as she acquired her masters, everybody went to stream her original version of Reputation because up to then people hadn't really been streaming it because they were waiting for Taylor's version.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Good for her.
That's a lot of money, man.
How much again?
$360 million.
That's insane.
That's loading me.
What'd you say?
It feels low to me for her.
$360 million?
No, because what are they worth? They're not worth as much because she did Taylor's version.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It feels low.
Yeah, but they had to sell low.
Yeah, I know, I guess. Yeah.
Right? So what happens now? Does she keep both albums out?
Yeah.
Might as well. Wow. People will stream, her fans will stream the hell out of all of those things.
And now she gets to license whatever she wants and do all the stuff. Because the problem is that if you're a giant company, like let's say you're Coca-Cola, right? Or Pepsi or the NFL. And you're like, oh, we want one of those old Taylor Swift songs in this. They could go to Capitol, right? Shamrock, and say, hey, how much to use Taylor's whatever, whatever. And they could give her a price. No major company is ever going to do that to Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to go to Shamrock to license a Swift song. They're going to go to Taylor's people and use one off Taylor's version, right? Because nobody's going to do that to her.
Yeah.
So
it's
regardless,
suicide.
She is making money.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Wall Street Journal will release their list of the highest paid CEOs in U.S. And it's quite shocking, actually. So Lawrence Gulp of GE Aerospace, $87.4 million a year. Tim Cook at Apple, $74.6 million a year. The guy from Carrier Global, $65.6 million. Ted Sarandos at Netflix, $61.9 million. But the number one top earner is Rick Smith at Axon Enterprise with $165 million last year. I had no idea what this company was. They make tasers and body cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, police forces everywhere. What do they got now?
Yeah.
Tasers and body cams.
So he grew their revenue by more than 30% for three straight years and posted a record annual net income for the company of $377 million last year. Zuckerberg, by the way, is 63rd on the list. Elon Musk at Tesla, who he's got like a whole thing going on. He came in last with zero.
Oh,
just because he didn't take, because all of this money comes from stock, right? Like all of this money is payout and bonuses and everything else. So,
damn, Elon Musk, you broke, bitch.
All these guys have boats, I bet, huh?
Yachts,
except for Elon Musk, who lives in a shed.
He's going to survive all of us, man.
I think Zuckerberg probably spends all his money on security, to be honest with you.
For sure.
Because he's building that bunker, and, like, what's he spending on that? Every dollar he has, I think, just goes to, like, personal security and building a fortress. And, he doesn't do anything else with it.
MMA training, too.
That's it, yeah. But he flies them there, right? Mm-hmm. And every now and then he shows up at Vegas to walk a fighter to the cage, which is kind of awesome. But that's a lot of money.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Lady Gaga was officially announced as a guest star for season 2 of Wednesday on Netflix.
This was at their event on Saturday. That was what it was called. Ta-dum.
Ta-dum. Yeah.
Ta-dum.
Brilliant.
We're all so excited for this next surprise. This season, we were all blessed to work with an amazing artist.
Our new guest star. Our new guest star in part 2 of season 2 of Wednesday is one of the most talented people on the planet and just an all-around incredible human.
And she is about to rock the Kia Forum.
There's always one. There's always one.
The one who's out of sync?
No. The one who tries to do the announcement on their own. When you get up there with 5 people and you're like, okay, I'm going to say a little something, you're going to say a little something, and then we're going to say, and get ready for, and then all together we're going to say Lady Gaga. There's always somebody who jumps in early to give them the big announcement. Right? There's always one.
Who was it? Who was it that said that? What was it? Jenna Ortega, was it?
No, I have no idea who that was.
Who would be on this show?
Right?
If all the 5 of us went up to do that.
Oh, good.
Who's that?
It would be Maureen.
Yeah, for sure.
Maureen would do it on purpose.
Yeah. Here, this is like this is exactly what happened. Mocha, if you could start introducing Lady Gaga, I'll play the part of Maury. Mm-hmm. Mocha, you play the part of yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to
Lady Gaga
of Wednesday.
Not even.
That's exactly what would happen.
100%.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. Right? There's always one. Anyway, she performed Abracadabra.
All right.
And Jenna Ortega was part of the dance.
Oh, was she?
And Lady Gaga did the viral Lady Gaga dance from last season.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know if I finished watching Wednesday, to be honest with you.
Oh, such a good show. I can't wait for that show to come back, man. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I did watch it. I think I watched it. I get so confused with all those shows, though. Like, just there's so many. And then didn't Jenna Ortega play a character very similar to
Beetlejuice?
Oh, right. I got that confused with that. Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh my God, soccer fans in France, what are you doing? So following Paris Saint-Germain being crowned the European football champion, police reported riots and looting. A teenager was stabbed to death.
Oh my God.
There were more than 205 injuries and 294 arrests.
What the hell?
Like, Paris is like, it's a war zone.
Yo, just chill. Have a baguette and some wine, y'all.
Apparently there was almost 600 people arrested.
They don't. They
That's
don't. There's
insane.
No. There's no chill.
600 people arrested.
There's no. There's Stabbings. No. There's no chill. Yeah, 205 injuries.
What y'all doing
Some
up
kid
up there
died.
In France.
That's celebrating.
Terrible.
Celebrating.
No, that's not how you celebrate.
That's how you celebrate. That's how you celebrate in France.
I'm surprised they didn't try to take down the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Mes amis, help me with this.
Yeah, but like
that didn't work for King Kong.
Shooting fireworks, all that stuff.
Probably at each other's
rowdy.
Faces.
Oh, yeah. But and this is what happens when they win. That's the shocking thing to me.
Oh, my
It's
God.
Like in Vancouver when the, I think it was the Canucks went to either the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals, one of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was, but like they looted, like they rioted when they won. It always amazes me.
But that happened also in Toronto when the Raptors won. They were jumping on cop cars.
Not like this, though. No. Not a riot. Like I understand jump on a cop car every now and then. Who hasn't, right?
I haven't.
But this is total, like, barbarian style anarchy.
Yeah.
When your team wins, like, I just don't understand the culture of that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand when you're like, when you're happy about something that you burn your own city down. Yeah.
The Canucks lost in game 7, by the way, of the Stanley Cup final.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, and they flipped cup cards too, right?
No, but they didn't riot when they lost though.
Mm-mm.
They were rioting when they won.
Yeah. Sorry. You're right. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes.
Yeah.
2011. But they were riding when they won because there was that shot. Remember, everything was on fire and that couple was making out on the street.
Yeah. Right? That's a good photo opportunity.
Yeah. There was that famous shot.
Looked like
crazy.
AI.
I just don't get it. I don't get burning your city down when your team wins. It's so wild to me. And it happens in every sport. There's a city for every sport where when their team wins, they go like wild and they burn everything down. It makes no sense to me.
Yo, be better, France. For real.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Tinder has begun on trial a new, very divisive new premium height filter, which will allow users to select how tall their potential matches would be. Now, this is a paid preference rather than a hard filter, meaning the setting is more of a suggestion to the algorithm rather than a tool to completely block out users of a certain height. According to OkCupid, heightism is like very prevalent on dating apps, with men routinely adding 2 inches to their height on their profiles to be more appealing to women. Height discrimination, they say, works both ways, though, with women who are 5'4" receiving 60% more messages per year on dating apps than women who are 6 feet. Hinge, one of the other dating apps owned by the same company, already has a height filter for premium users. And of course, women were rejoicing and every guy was like, well, if you're going to do a height filter, you should also do a BMI filter.
Oh my gosh.
That's a typical dude answer.
Well, but women are cheering on the height filter, though.
Height is different than weight.
Is it, though?
It is.
Not to a guy. When you say that you won't date a guy under a certain height.
That they're so different.
It's not different.
It's so different.
It's not how it feels.
Well, that sucks.
going after the body mass index now.
you think it hurts a guy less to go, what are you, 5'7"? No chance. Damn. You think that hurts less?
So then what if it to the guy who's like 5'5" and they gotta do the height filter and the weight filter? That's double whammy right there.
I'm just saying, listen, this is where everything is going, right? There's gonna be one person for one person. Like, it's gonna be called Joan by the end of it because she's gonna be the only one who's gonna find Doug.
Yeah. Poor Doug.
Right?
Short fatty. Damn, bro.
No, he's gonna be the perfect height and the perfect weight and the perfect everything.
Oh, there, yeah.
Sure. Right? The perfect.
No one's perfect. That's the problem here.
Well, this is the problem with these things, is that they keep adding filters to sort of like weed out 99% of the population.
Did people just forget why I'm not on dating apps? To like people?
Maury, you're not on dating apps because you're married.
Oh, that too.
Damn. Oh my God.
How tall are you, Mo?
Five. Well, what do I four. Say or what am I actually?
Okay, no. I want to know. What are you actually?
Like 5'5".
Like 5'5"? Or under 5'5"?
Well, the last time I was measured, it was 5'5".
With shoes on?
I don't know, the thing in the doctor's office.
So he said 5'5".
Yeah.
Yeah, but like he went, 5'5"? Or he was 5'5".
Yeah, 5'5".
Interesting.
Roger, 6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Damn.
Same.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Cardi B going off on Offset over the weekend. So they're going through a nasty sort of settlement with the divorce and everything else, and she's moved on. But I guess there's a lot of financials, and she's accusing Offset of being a deadbeat and not helping her out financially with the kids. And she went on and sort of broke it down what she pays a month for the kids, like what the budget is per month for the 3 kids. Listen to this.
Y'all want to know what's the kids' bills? Start adding. My kids got their own driver. The kids' driver is on a retainer for $10,000 a month. Coach, your school this year, you didn't pay for it. That's $45,000. My cousin babysits Wave and Coacher. She gets paid $3,000 a week. The nanny was $700 a day, but because she's only staying in the daytime, $500. Don't call me. Nobody call me. The baby's nanny is $500 a day now because she's not staying the whole day. Coacher and Wave gets tutoring 4 times a week. Coacher piano's class, that's 300 an hour, and she gets piano class 3 times a week. I'm not sure how much is gymnastic and weight boxing classes, but I pay that too. And you have left me with that bill for a whole year. Have I asked you for anything? This is not even including food. So my kids have a personal chef that come from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. that I pay for.
So hold on. Can I be Cardi's kid, please?
Right?
Yo, personal chef
and a driver?
Cardi B, come on out.
Yeah.
What is the chef making like tonight for dinner?
Yeah, because nobody's got time to cook.
But I assume all celebrity kids have chefs.
No.
I mean, I would like, say no.
The family might have a chef, but the personal children
but
chef?
Not 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
No.
That's crazy money.
Every other day, you meal prep a couple.
Like, that's crazy, crazy money.
Microwave that stuff.
$45,000 a year for one kid's tuition, $35,000 for the other. And yeah, personal chef and a driver on retainer for $10,000
a month. Where the hell the kids
got
to go?
School.
You know what?
Right? Oh, sure.
Security, all that stuff.
I might become a babysitter, $3,000 a week.
That's her cousin, though. That's the cousin rate.
I don't have, famous cousins.
Exactly.
Do I have any famous cousins?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
If you were rating yourself, how would you grade yourself on trustworthiness, honesty, empathy, creativity, patience, artistic ability, so on and so forth? Your ability to cook, all that stuff. In a comprehensive new poll, more than 70% of people believe that they were above average or far above average when it came to trustworthiness, loyalty, and honesty. More than 60% of people believe they are above average in ethics, reading ability, empathy, open-mindedness, attention to detail, and sense of humor. Women were more likely to believe that they were above average on all of those except for the sense of humor. The biggest swing in one direction was with empathy, which may not be surprising. 69% of women said that they were more likely to be empathetic than 56% of men. On the flip side, 15% of people said that they were above average at running. 16% of people said that they were above average in dancing ability. But I think you have to remember with this. Average, like when you say above average, if somebody says I'm above average at something, it sounds like they're saying they're great at it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like if I say I'm an above average runner, you would laugh at me for saying that. But in reality, I probably am an above average runner.
But what's the average though? Like you got to minus
like 5 kilometers, right?
No. You're averaging all people.
So that includes athletes and Olympians,
but it includes the population.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And 1% of the population completes a marathon in their life.
1% of the population works out regularly.
Yeah.
Hold on. So I'm confused. So are we all above average?
I would say that we're probably all above average.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
In all of those things.
Yeah. What are the other details?
Right. maybe not empathy.
No, I am above average. I am very empathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not sense of humor.
What are you talking about? I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
Guys. So
always says the funny person.
People
right?
always tell me I'm funny.
Okay.
No.
Dancing ability.
Oh, above average.
Above average.
Yes. Wow.
Mocha. Dancing ability.
Yo, above average.
Above average?
There's no way. I've seen you dance in our TikTok videos.
Okay, shit.
Girl, God. You just said it wasn't funny. Take it.
I never said that. That was Roz.
You didn't say no.
You didn't hear me. I said it quietly.
Dan Mori, above average. Above average dancing?
Absolutely.
Oh, police.
You?
Shem, above average running?
Yes. Oh, running? Oh, you set me up. That's not cool, bro. You got to be empathetic, man.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mariah Carey hinting at a 16th album, and she previews a new song. So explain this to me, Maury. The clip is what? She's sitting in a car?
She's getting in the car.
Okay.
Looking fabulous.
Thank you.
Changes the radio.
To?
An MP3.
Okay.
I guess, some sort of SD card.
Gotcha.
Or MP3.
And
I assume MP3s are on an SD card.
And it starts with, it's like that, and then she switches it, right?
That's right. And then so, it goes into what could be a new song.
So this is something at the end of this, something you have never heard. So it is definitely new. Okay, so here's the clip.
To show my appreciation for your support. Thank you, DJs.
Oh, hold on a second. On Friday, she released the 20th anniversary edition of Emancipation of Mimi.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of tracks on there are like bonus remixes of all of her classics from that album. So I wonder if this is part of that.
No, this is
the license plate was MC16.
Yeah, this is supposed to be from a new album called MC16 or working title, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
16 albums. That's a lot of albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
She should have stopped at Emancipation. That album was like her best.
When was Emancipation?
Four,
you think she should have stopped at 04? I mean, she's been cruising on Cruise's music since 04.
Caution was her last album. It went to number one.
What's the album?
Caution.
Name me a song went that we played on the show.
Went to number one where?
On the R&B charts.
Okay, that's, yeah, we can't say that. You got to say went to number one on the R&B charts.
No, we skew the numbers.
Went to number one in my heart. Yeah,
number one in my heart.
Number one on R&B charts in Australia.
Best track on there is STFU.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway, well, guess what? We never played it.
Anyway, there we go. Yeah.
Okay. No, Emancipation was by far
05.
Bro, that was her best album ever.
Yeah, it was great.
Classic, man.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Brett Goldstein talking to who was he? One of the Jimmys, Jimmy Kimmel, last night on Ted Lasso. I don't know how happy I am that Ted Lasso's coming back. They really wrapped it up in such a great way. It was perfect, and now they're definitely coming back for a fourth and maybe more.
What, Roy Kent? What are you saying, dog?
The last time you were here was we were talking about the third and final season, which was supposed to be the final season, and you guys even cried and hugged and had the whole this emotional goodbye, and then you come back for a fourth season. What was the story there? Did you really think it was your final season?
We did all cry and we did all hug, but I also think, if I'm honest, a lot of us when we were hugging said, "We'll come back, won't we?" Like, I felt 90%. I can't give you the numbers. I felt like we'd come back.
You did.
But now, I didn't know.
Will this now, fourth season, be the final season? Because this is not a situation like where the show's on the bubble of cancellation. Yeah, yeah. It's a situation where you could probably do it for as long as you want to do it.
I think that's a conversation for Apple, and I say that because someone from Apple is pointing a sniper rifle at me as you ask that question.
I see.
I think we'd love to do it forever, but I think a limit to...
Should I text someone using your phone?
Yeah.
Right, so they're just going to keep doing them now?
Yeah.
Right?
Listen, that was such a hot show for that network.
Oh,
of course
I know.
Threw a buttload of money at every single one of them to come back.
No, but
it's like when Cher went on her last final tour and then did another final tour.
Just like that. Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. And Alberta, man, this is the wildest story, man. He's won the lottery for the fourth time.
Damn.
This guy in Lethbridge named David Serkin won $1 million on May 3rd for the 649 gold ball draw. Last year, he won $500,000 on Lotto Max, followed by another $1 million on November 16th from Lotto 649. It means that in 9 months, he won $2.5 million. Also won $250,000 in a separate draw 12 years ago. He says, "I know the odds are astronomical. Well, yeah. I don't think it'll happen again, but I'm still going to buy tickets." Stop, bro. Yes. The odds of winning Lotto Max, by the way, or a Max Millions, is 1 in 33 million.
Lot of mercy.
And he won four times?
He won four times. Serkin said that he's been buying Lotto Max, Lotto 649 tickets since it's launched in 1982. He says that when he won, he took his wife to Hawaii for his last win. With this win, they're going to Newfoundland.
Hey. Keep it local.
It's beautiful there.
Who wins the lotto?
He don't want to spend his money in the U.S., in Trump land.
Who cares? Newfoundland? Don't get me wrong. I love Newfoundland. I got people out in Newfoundland, right?
Yeah.
But Newfoundland? No. No.
Why not?
Because summer is like 1 week and it doesn't happen till like the end of July. Right now, it feels like Thanksgiving out there in Newfoundland. Like, it's not, you don't want to go there fine. Right now. You don't want to go to Newfoundland right now with your lottery winnings. With lottery winnings?
Yes.
No.
Where should he go then?
I don't know. Somewhere cool. Like, he went to Hawaii, right? Take your wife to Tokyo or something, man.
Newfoundland is beautiful.
I've been there before. I'm not saying
he's
not beautiful.
Taking you.
I'm not saying it's not beautiful. I'm just saying that that's on the list of places to go after you win the lottery.
Call up your peoples out there. Show
and
the
say
guy
what?
Be like, yo, I got some people.
Listen, I don't need to call anybody. You show up in Newfoundland, knock on anyone's door, they're going
to
make you supper.
Oh.
that's
great
just,
to me.
That's just the reality of Newfoundland.
Okay, there you
yeah.
go.
There you go.
Anyway, that's nobody should win the lottery that much. I'm pissed off at him.
Damn.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jonathan Joss, who was one of the voices on King of the Hill, he played John Acorn on King of the Hill, and he was also on Parks and Rec for a while. So he was murdered a few days ago. Yeah, and his husband, Tristan, came out with a statement, and because it came out that he was killed, which was heartbreaking enough, but his husband Tristan released this statement. He said, my husband Jonathan and I were involved in a shooting while checking the mail at the site of our former home. So they no longer lived there. That home was burned down after over 2 years of threats from people in the area who repeatedly told us they would set fire to it. We reported these threats to law enforcement multiple times and nothing was done. According to the Post, when they got there, they found, I guess, the skull of one of their dogs and the collar. And they said that they were in severe emotional distress while they were standing there. He said, quote, "We began yelling and crying in response to the pain that we saw. While we were doing this, a man approached us. He started yelling violent homophobic slurs at us. He then raised a gun from his lap and fired. He was murdered. Jonathan was murdered by someone who could not stand the sight of two men loving each other."
Oh,
that's
my goodness.
That's a statement. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. Wow.
God, that show was good, though. He was so good on that show. John Acorn, King of the Hill. That was the best. So many voice actors from that show have passed away.
Yeah.
Who was the, was it Brittany? No. Was it, who did the voice of Luann? She passed away.
Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy passed away. Tom Petty was a voice on that show. Yeah, Tom Petty was a voice on that show. The guy that did Boomhauer, was it Boomhauer? Maybe not Boomer. Yeah, I think that guy.
Yeah.
I think he passed away, and now Jonathan Joss tragically passed away.
I thought they were bringing that show.
They are bringing that show back.
It is
coming back. Yeah. So tragic though. That's unbelievably heartbreaking.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Sarah Jessica Parker, as Carrie Bradshaw, so the whole crew were on with Andy Cohen yesterday, and they were talking about Cosmos, because that's anybody who ever watched the show, like, they made Cosmos famous, right? Like, nobody was drinking a Cosmo until Sex and the City made them famous.
Yeah.
And
it's all Shem drinks now.
Facts. Delicious.
Especially the ones that taste like apple juice, right?
Well, you know me
and well. I had no idea, but Sarah Jessica Parker had said that it wasn't until after Sex and the City had wrapped that she actually had a Cosmo for the first time.
Really?
Like a real Cosmo.
Not even just like out with your friends?
No. No, she had no idea. She said,
outside of her Sex and the City life?
Her only sort of experience with a Cosmo is what the prop stylist would make, which she said was watered down cranberry juice with a twist.
Oh, all right.
And how many of those did they have to drink on set?
Oh, so many. You can't put vodka on all those.
Yeah, she never had a Cosmo.
Oh, interesting.
Which is kind of cool.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Wayne Gretzky was on with the Kelce brothers on the New Heights podcast, where they asked him about who is on his GOAT list for all the sports, right?
Oh, no. Every single sport.
Yeah, so like the big ones, right?
Sure.
And you can he panders to them a little bit, but then eventually he doubles back and talks about NFL. So here's Gretzky.
Speaking of GOATs in other professions, we got to know who your greatest of all times are in the NBA, the NFL, and the MLB.
Well, the NBA is easy. 23, that was pretty easy,
Mike,
right?
Yeah.
NFL, well, I'll go with you two guys, like one
Let's
and two.
Go! Let's go! My man. I'll take it.
Major League Baseball, listen, to me what Jackie Robinson did is incredible.
That's awesome.
Babe Ruth, how he created the full baseball world, but I'm going to pick George Brett as the greatest player I ever saw.
There we go, wow. Baby. There wow. we go. Keeping it in the MO, baby.
And then in your sport, I mean, how can you go against Tom Brady with all the championships, right?
Yeah.
TB. Yep.
And I got Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe in hockey. Those are the two greatest players ever to play.
It's disappointing to me for to hear him say that.
Why?
Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe.
And not why? Himself?
No. It's. I mean, Wayne Gretzky. But to not like... It's arguable, given, and I may get flamed for saying this.
Ovechkin?
It's arguable. It's arguable. But I think that there is a huge argument to be made, Gretzky included, that Connor McDavid is the single greatest person to ever put skates on and touch a puck.
Yo, Connor McDavid's doing his thing. I'm not going to dog
that
guy.
He may not have the cups, right?
Yeah.
He may not have the cups. Phenomenal hockey player. But I don't know skill-wise... But that's the whole thing. When you talk about the greatest, you have to take into account championships.
Gotta win.
You have to. You got to win.
The greats
right?
win. If you look at other sports,
I know
the greats,
you have to win.
The greats that haven't won, the knock on them is that they haven't won.
They haven't won. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, right? And Jordan, right? Won.
Oh, yeah.
You know, George Brett won. Who else did he? Tom Brady won. Like you have to. On that list, you have to say Wayne Gretzky if we're counting wins, right? Like you just have to do it.
Guys, but John Cena, 17 times.
Is that
okay? World champion.
Okay, hold on here. Let's add WWE into this real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mocha.
John Cena.
No. You're just one goat. We're talking.
I'm
goat.
Saying The Rock, man.
No.
The Rock.
No.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's Stone Cold.
Yeah, okay, fine. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Don't tell The Rock I said that.
You think you think Stone Cold?
Yeah.
He is the let's be clear. He's not the best wrestler.
Yes.
He is the best entertainer that has ever performed in wrestling. Does that make sense?
Okay. So what that sport requires of people, he was the best at
correct.
Doing all of it.
Yep. Thank you for saying sport, by the way.
More so than Hogan, you think?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, now we got a real combo going, guys. Also, did you know The Rock knows who I am?
Mocha, I know Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So what started on a podcast, Brian Woodhurst from ESPN saying that the Raptors are hunting for a big fish this summer, saying that Masai Ujiri smells opportunity in the East. And to be honest, it makes a ton of sense after how everything unfolded in the East this year. Then the Star reported that Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Raptors have, quote, mutual interests. Stating that if Giannis officially requests a trade from the Bucks, the Toronto Raptors reportedly could be near the top of his wish list, stating that the Raptors are uniquely placed to make an attractive offer that won't ruin their franchise or roster. And then ESPN's Shams Charania previously reported that Giannis.
Giannis. Yep.
Was open-minded about exploring a change of scenery. And I want to play you this clip right now, which is him talking to reporters because they won and then they haven't made it past the first round in Milwaukee since they won, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so he may be looking for a change of scenery, but I want to play you this clip after they were eliminated with him talking about other players in the league who he admires, who can handle the ball and set up their teammates. Listen to this.
Being the best at it. You know, you see like a lot of people playing that way right now from Siakam, from Pablo, Scotty Barnes. You see like a lot of people that can handle the ball and put the teammates in the right place and play make and make the team better. It's something that I enjoy to do. If I have an opportunity to come back next year and be able to do that, I would love it. I think I can be good. I can help the team in that way.
Didn't the Raptors try to get him before his last contract signing?
So. They did, yeah, because there's a relationship with Masai Ujiri
huge
with the whole basketball in Africa and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a huge relationship there. So
so the Raptors have enough young talent to make this happen, but who would you give up for Giannis?
Shem would know.
Oh, man. Because here's the thing. You don't want to gut the team too much because then there's not going to be a team for him to play with, right?
Yeah.
Everybody but Scotty Barnes.
I think you give up Scotty Barnes.
I don't think so, man.
100%.
I think he needs Scotty Barnes.
No, I don't think
he do. I think Masai would.
He's shown you he can, and he would.
Yeah.
Did it with DeMar DeRozan to get Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yep. They won that shot at a championship again.
Yep. And it could happen fast, too, if this happens.
Very quick.
I think, like, I don't know.
Very
I think
quick.
They would rather, like, kill
very
off
quick
more of the roster than to trade off Scotty Barnes.
Well, yeah, but it's not really up to you, though.
Should be.
Right?
Yo, Masai, call
Wish
me
it
up.
Was.
I mean, I can be your the consigliere.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jamie Foxx was doing an appearance at the Comedy Store for Netflix's All-Star Comedy Night, and he was talking about Diddy again after he officially said that no, Diddy was not the one. He didn't poison him and try and kill him. But while he was on stage, he said, that Diddy stuff is crazy, huh? I don't know if he's going to jail, but he is a nasty MF-er, am I right? Especially for our community. For white people, it's cool. But black people are like, that was our hero, all the baby oil and then the urine. He goes on to say, for the black people in here, you know how that hurts us, because Diddy was known for it's all about the Benjamins. That was our whole culture. Now it's all about the baby oil. So that was Jamie Foxx.
Oh, Jesus.
The baby oil.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to play this clip of, I think it was it Variety, Maury, that sat down?
That's
Colin
right.
Farrell?
So Actors on Actors.
Thank you. I love this stuff. So they sat down Colin Farrell and Danny DeVito. Mm-hmm. And Colin Farrell and Danny DeVito, because they both play the Penguin.
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, Danny DeVito was Penguin. Colin Farrell is the sort of new version of what the Penguin is. And they get into a conversation about their respective cat women, right? Mm-hmm. So Zoe Kravitz for Colin Farrell and Michelle Pfeiffer for Danny DeVito. Remember the black leather suit for Danny DeVito? And Danny DeVito is just like an old school perv. And listen to this clip of Colin Farrell doing his absolute best to try and navigate Danny DeVito away from over-sexualizing Michelle Pfeiffer.
Who's your cat woman?
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz.
But I did a couple of scenes with Zoe. Yeah, she was wonderful. Only briefly, I was the proprietor of a nightclub, and she was one of the ladies
so,
that worked the floor.
Okay, so
she was amazing in the film, I thought, Zoe. She was beautiful.
Beautiful. Right. Really, really, really
inhabited.
Great, Zoe.
Obviously, she's
Oswald. I had Michelle Pfeiffer. You know, I'm not comparing anything. I'm just saying.
You weren't very clear. In
she was a goddess.
Her. You were in cahoots with her.
Oh, and my God, you know, if I knew she was gonna be in the show that day, in that scene,
would you brush your teeth that morning?
Oh my God, I got all flustered.
Did you have an extra shower?
I mean, when I, you know, put extra makeup on, give me another pound of makeup, you know, stick the, you know, God Almighty, it was very difficult to keep my.
How was it to work with her?
She's great. She was a great.
She was fantastic in
that.
But you were both
wonderful.
Fantastic in it.
Just so wonderful, and I lusted
you were
after
very
her.
Dangerous.
I loved her.
We're moving off to your lust.
I loved her. I just wanted everybody else to disappear.
All right, so just tell me.
Okay, so go ahead.
What form did the
that
lust
was
take?
The penguin.
Behaviorally.
It was not me. It was the penguin. It was Oswald. It was lustful.
Was she
was
nervous
like,
when she was working with you? Did she call security?
No,
did she say, tell him to stop stirring the...
I thought she kind of liked it.
Tell him to stop stirring the sauce.
I had a feeling she liked it. I had a feeling she liked Oswald.
Bro. Colin Farrell is like, I cannot have this conversation.
Also, Danny DeVito,
can't.
Your wife, Rhea Perlman, would kick your ass.
I think she already did, though. They split up a while ago, didn't they?
No.
Or did they get back together?
They're back together.
Are they?
Yeah.
But they split up for a little bit, though,
well,
right?
Guess who's splitting up again?
Uh-huh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I guess it's official. Mariah Carey announced her new single called Type Dangerous.
And merchandise.
And merch. It's happening Friday, so very little time.
We're upset, though. The Lambs are upset because the merchandise doesn't have her name on it.
What do you mean? What is the
merchandise? It just has the song title. There's no, it doesn't say Mariah anywhere on the shirts.
What does type dangerous mean?
Her type is dangerous.
Oh. Like she's dangerous or she likes danger. She likes danger.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking it's like she's the dangerous one. Like beware of her.
Right. I thought that was.
She's the queen. She's the diva.
Using a computer in the tub.
Well.
Whoa.
Shem's like, why are you giving away my secrets, bro?
That's dangerous.
That's so dangerous.
That's very dangerous, yeah. Right?
Died that way.
Thank that's what it type dangerous. Yeah. That's all I pictured was her in like a big like bubbly bathtub with a really unstable piece of 2x6 across the side of it.
Well, now what would she be doing?
With a plugged in laptop
what
on the top.
What would she be doing
it?
On the laptop?
Typing
think?
Lyrics.
She don't write her own
no.
music, bro.
Yes,
no.
She does.
She'd be Googling herself.
Oh yeah, probably.
Right? We all know that. Oh, what's Mariah up to? Oh, look at her.
She probably got.
She's having a bath. I'm having a bath.
She probably got Google like news alerts.
Yeah. Oh, for sure she does.
Fully active.
Yeah, playing Candy Crush.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up.
Celebrating a major milestone. We all know Rick Astley.
Never gonna let you down.
You're not Rickrolling us right now, are you?
No, he was memed, but really before anybody else, huh?
Totally, the original meme.
Yeah, he was the original. Like getting Rickrolled was like the original sort of like online prank.
Mm.
Like Rick Astley walked so the big dude on the bed could run. You know,
big dude, huh?
What's that guy's name again?
I couldn't tell you. Nope.
Come on, Sham. You know.
No.
Yeah. R.I.P. to that guy, King.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that guy became super famous during COVID. But anyway.
And he died. He didn't even live.
I know.
He died before that meme became a thing.
I know. It's so sad.
Right? He was out there celebrating for Harambee.
Yeah.
Way before.
Remember you'd get that that notification, oh, my God, look at the COVID numbers in your neighborhood. And it was like a link to a map. And it would just be that dude sitting on the end of a bed.
Yeah. I was like.
Jesus Christ.
Caught me every time.
Every single time.
I think he would have appreciated it. Yeah, but it was altered, though. That's the whole thing with that that picture.
That.
Yeah, it was altered.
Girls are looking at that and being all like,
oh, my God, is that him right there? Oh, you look so good.
Yeah. Anyway, Rick Astley celebrating a major, major, major milestone on Spotify.
So who would have believed, after all these years, Never Gonna Give You Up has had 1 billion streams on Spotify.
Wow!
That's 1 billion streams. How amazing. Thank you for listening. And lots of love. And I'll see you all soon, I hope. 1,000,000,001? Who knows?
1 billion?
1 billion.
Wow. Is that crazy? How come he didn't sing a little bit in that announcement?
Yeah, he's a
You don't need
too.
To, man. He got 1 billion streams on Spotify.
I wouldn't sing ever again.
No, you don't have to do that.
I'm done.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Arnold Schwarzenegger sat down with Variety for their Actors on Actors series. This is where they pair two actors up and then they just kind of like BS about the business and the craft and everything else. But Arnold, this time around, was with his son, Patrick, who was, of course, the star of the new season of White Lotus, who also went full frontal. We've had lots of those conversations.
The douchey jock.
Yeah. Thank you. Protein shake. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, protein
yes,
shake.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Here is Arnold and Patrick.
It had nothing to do really with the muscles. It was more with leather jackets on and clothes and playing a machine. Only the opening scene was naked.
Yeah.
Talking about naked.
I've done it.
I couldn't believe I said to myself, I'm watching your show and I'm watching you with your butt sticking out there. And all of a sudden I see the weenie. And I said to myself, what is going on here? I mean, this is crazy. And then I said to myself, well, Arnold, hello.
God, the weenie.
You did the same thing in Conan and in Terminator and all of those films. You were naked, so don't complain about it. But it was kind of like a shock to me that you would follow my footsteps that closely.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Schwarzenegger uses weenie, huh?
Weenie, I think it's because he was with his son. I don't think he uses weenie anymore.
It has nothing to do with the muscles. It was more with leather jackets on and clothes and playing a machine. Only the opening scene was naked.
Yeah.
Talking about naked.
I've done it.
I couldn't believe I said to myself, I'm watching your show and I'm watching you with your butt sticking out there. And all of a sudden I see the weenie.
That's a fun conversation to have with your dad, huh?
Right.
See the weenie.
Yeah.
See the weenie.
Yeah. You ever talk to your dad about stuff like that?
Hell no.
Like just like how you never say how's it hanging, pops?
Nothing never.
Like that. No.
Are you dumb? No.
No.
My Guyanese accountant father.
No. He would not go for that.
Like you whoop my ass back in the day for not knowing 8 times 2.
But you couldn't. But you couldn't.
You know
you couldn't sit there and have a conversation though about like.
About weenies?
Yeah,
bro.
No. Wouldn't work. You guys don't have that relationship.
Can I tell you fun, like quick story? Yeah. The day that Jenna and I got married, right?
Yeah.
So my dad was my best man.
Yeah.
So he shows up to the hotel to get ready. And I thought it would be like a cool father and son moment for us to, you know, get ready together. Not in the same bathroom, like at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, and I had like a gift for him that I want to present to him. So I'm ready. And my dad shows up late. And I'm like, all right, Dad, get to the bathroom and like start getting ready.
Yeah.
And he's taking forever. Okay. And I'm like, time is ticking and I gotta go.
Right.
But I have this gift that I wanna present to my father. So I was like, Dad, can I just like come in the bathroom? Like, are you dressed? He's like, yeah, like almost. I'm like, can I just come in the bathroom real quick?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So he's standing there. He's got his socks on, his undies on, tidy whities, right? And like his dress shirt, like half buttoned up.
Yeah.
And I have to go because I got like, I got to go do the first look.
Get married.
Jenna, right? Yeah. I got to go to do the first look with Jenna and like get the photos and stuff. The photographer's waiting. So in my mind, I'm picturing this nice, sweet, beautiful moment between me and my father on the day of my wedding where I present him with this gift and he's standing there like almost just like tidy whities. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, like, I really appreciate you being here. I'm like, being my best man. I love you so much. Like all this stuff. And I'm like tearing up. He's standing there in his underwear and I present him with this gift.
Did you hug?
Yeah, we hugged.
Yeah. Did you feel? Like,
no, I didn't feel.
No? Like, I mean, his knees. I mean, like his knees, thighs. No. Or no?
It was just awkward. I'm like, man. Yeah. Like, Dad, come on, dude.
Yeah. You're hugging your old man in his underpants. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
When you're grown, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, anyway, it's finished getting dressed.
In a bathroom.
Yeah. Right? At a hotel?
Yeah. No, this seems like an affair of some sort, if you ask me.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Officials at the United States Embassy and its consulates in Mexico have confirmed several reports of tourists being kidnapped by individuals they met on dating apps.
Oh, my God.
So in a recent alert issued 2 days ago, authorities at the U.S. consulate in Guadalajara issued a warning about incidents all occurring in recent months in the areas of Puerto Vallarta and Nuevo Nayarit. They say victims and their families in the U.S. have at times been extorted for large sums of money to secure their release. Please be aware, this type of violence is not limited to one geographic area. Travelers should use extreme caution when meeting with strangers. Currently, the city of Puerto Vallarta is classified as a level 3 reconsidered travel area due to the crime and kidnappings. Over in Nayarit, they are a level 2 exercise caution due to the crime. So I guess people are going down, firing up Tinder. Hey, where do you want to meet? Meet me here. And then they get snatched and give me your phone. Let's call your parents. Cash App us money and maybe we'll let you go.
Maybe
we'll let you go. That's
scary, man.
Wild, man.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Prime Minister Mark Carney said that the government is currently in live negotiations with the U.S. to remove all tariffs on Canadian goods. This on the same day. Today, Donald Trump doubled his steel tariffs. Here's Trump.
A 25% increase. We're going to bring it from 25% to 50%, the tariffs on steel into the United States of America.
The additional tariffs are unlawful and unjustified, said Prime Minister Carney, saying Canada's new government is engaged in intense negotiations to have these and other tariffs removed as part of a new economic and security partnership with the United States. Trump signed the executive order raising the tariffs, as he just said, from 25 to 50%, starting at 2:01 a.m. today. More than 90% of Canada's steel and aluminum is exported to the U.S. In a statement, the Aluminum Association of Canada said that the additional tariffs make Canada exports to the U.S., quote, economically unviable. Here is Ontario Premier Doug Ford.
Oh my God, please tell me he goes Stone Cold Doug Ford.
We've seen an increase in anything made of steel down in the U.S. go up 16%. Again, we need each other.
No, he loves Mark Carney. He called him Santa Claus the other day.
I know. How you going to disrespect Santa like that? Guess what? you're not getting no presents this year.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You are a huge fan, Mocha, of Back to the Future, as am I. Love that movie, the 1985 classic. So when Marty is back in time and he jumps up on stage at the high school, and he plays Johnny B. Goode, right?
1955.
Thank you.
Enchantment Under the Sea Dance.
Thank you.
It's where George and Lorraine met and kissed for the very first
you.
Time. Get your damn hands off her.
So the guitar that Marty used in that scene, that classic Gibson guitar, is, and I had no idea. I thought that thing would have made its way through all sorts of rock and roll, hard rock cafes and Smithsonian and whatever else. But the reality is they have no idea where it is.
What do you mean?
So listen to this, because they're trying to get it back, and they actually recruited Michael J. Fox to help with this video.
There's something very important that all of us are involved with.
We need your help.
We are on the lookout for a missing guitar.
We're trying to find the guitar. The guitar I played in Back to the Future.
No one's seen that guitar since 1985, and we need to find it.
Somehow, it's vanished.
Erased from existence.
It's somewhere lost in the space-time continuum, or it's in some Teamster's garage.
This guitar has been lost to the future.
We're kind of hoping you can help us find it.
Ask your friends, ask your relatives, ask your bandmates.
If you know where it is, if you know who has it, call us, text us.
Go to losttothefuture.com or call this 800 number below. We need your help.
We'll make a hero out of you.
We will all be so grateful.
Yo, hold on a second.
So here's the problem, because this is what happened. So for the movie, the props department just went out and rented a guitar from a place called Norman's Rare Guitars in L.A.
Okay.
They used it for the shoot, and then they just returned it to the store. So I'm guessing Norman's sold it. And the person who bought it, because you have to understand, when they shot Back to the Future, there was probably a great deal of time that that guitar went back and just sat on the shelf at the guitar store where nobody knew what happened to that guitar. Because you shoot a movie and you're like a year and a half out. So in that window, somebody may have just gone in and picked up that guitar, not even knowing, and then not even knowing anything. They probably saw the movie and were like, oh, that's the same guitar I have, not knowing that is the same guitar I have.
So why don't they? I mean, it's easy, guys.
Is it? I love how Michael J. Fox was like, text me. Okay.
Sure, Mike.
How? What do you mean, Mike? It's easy? That's so difficult.
Hop in the DeLorean.
Oh, there we go.
Go back okay. in time.
Sorry, my
to
bad.
The last time you
I
had
ask?
The guitar.
Yes.
And swipe it.
Right. Okay.
But yes. Then you change the timeline.
Yes.
And the whole space-time continuum.
Yes.
Right? And you worry about running into your
right.
old self.
Right. And what happens to the guy who bought the guitar? Maybe that guy who bought the guitar had a great life. Because maybe his kid was like, Dad, this is the only thing in the world that I want. And that dad worked like 6 months overtime. And then he finally had enough money and he went back to Norman's guitar store and he bought that guitar for his kid. So if you go back in time and make sure that that guitar doesn't wind back up at the guitar store, mm-hmm. what happens to that kid's life? Probably divorced from his wife, the husband, because he couldn't, because they sold the guitar out from under him and he didn't work hard enough, fast enough, right? Maybe that kid grew up to hate him.
Sounds like a butthead.
Right?
To me.
Who knows?
Wow.
Who knows what happens? You can't start messing with stuff like that, Mocha.
Morbid, man.
Anyway, it was a sweet guitar.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This is a wild stat. I think I heard this. One of the guys on maybe Barstool or one of the hockey things on Barstool. So let me read you this stat here. Going into tonight's Stanley Cup final, game one, Oilers and Panthers.
In Edmonton, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet.
The Edmonton Oilers are the 8th team in league history to lose their first two games of the playoffs and make it to the finals. So they are the 8th team in league history to lose the first two games of the Stanley Cup playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Round one, and make it to the finals. Here's the other 7 teams. The 92 Penguins, the 93 Habs, the 2002 Wings, the 2006 Hurricanes, the 2011 Bruins, the 2014 Kings, and the 2018 Capitals. All 7 of those teams won the cup that year. So they are the 8th team in league history to lose the first two games and make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. All other 7 teams who lost their first two games won the cup that year. That's a crazy stat. Right?
That's a wild,
crazy
man.
Stat. 8 o'clock is game time.
Can't wait, bro.
Speaking of Barstool, Dave Portnoy, the guy who runs Barstool and does those pizza reviews. Mm-hmm. I like watching his pizza reviews.
Same.
Yeah, they're
He's
great.
Honest.
They're quick. Yeah, he likes people. He likes the restaurants. He was in Toronto because there was a Bitcoin convention that was going on, and he was at the Terraza on Harbord Street, and as he was walks outside. His whole thing is he goes in, gets a pie, comes outside, opens it up, takes a bite, and then gives his review, right? Mm-hmm. So he's on the sidewalk, and there's a bunch of people around. And I guess somebody in Toronto drove by, and here, you'll hear this.
Place is very cool on the inside. We got Frankie Lasagna's whole story, which almost seemed borderline not believable. See, there we go. There we go. What are you guys laughing about?
So what happened was, is that Dave Portnoy's Jewish, and somebody drove by in a car and yelled, F the Jews.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he just sort of, he said it wasn't going to let him affect his pizza review. But this is, I'm guessing, sort of tied into why that particular phrase was used or slur was used, was because at the Barstool Bar in Philly 2 weeks ago, you know when you get bottle service and you can pay and they bring out that giant sign?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, with the sparklers and the everything else. So at his bar in Philadelphia last month, somebody paid the people who work at his bar to write F the Jews on that sign and walk it over the table, and everybody was loving it and having a great time. And then he freaked out and went after the two guys that paid and fired the two people who worked at the bar and everything else. So this, unfortunately, is Toronto's rep. I was talking to somebody not that long ago who doesn't live in this city anymore, and they were saying that the reputation in Toronto is dead. It's like wildly anti-Semitic now, where for years that reputation was Montreal's and Montreal's alone. Mm-hmm. But now Toronto, and despite making up for less than 4% of Toronto's population, they say anti-Jewish hate accounted for a staggering 40% of all hate crimes and 81% of all religiously motivated hate crimes in the city last year, according to the report. Hate crimes have increased year over year since 2019, with a dramatic 80% spike in 2023 that began immediately after October 7th. So that is the reputation that we have from people who live outside of the city. And unfortunately, we have people who run the city that don't do anything about it. So there you go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mr. Beast, this is a wild story here. So Mr. Beast, we know, so much money, right?
Yeah.
So much money.
This guy, the king of an empire.
Thank you. And somebody posted that Mr. Beast was the only billionaire under 30 years old to not have inherited any of his wealth. And then Mr. Beast wrote back, because even though he is technically a billionaire, Mr. Beast wrote back and go, I personally have very little money. I reinvest everything. I think this year we'll spend $250 million on content. Ironically, I'm actually borrowing money from my mom to pay for my wedding.
What? Bro.
He goes, but sure, on paper, the business I own are worth a lot. So he, Mr. Beast, billionaire, is borrowing money from his mom because he doesn't withdraw. He doesn't pay himself a salary.
But you have an accountant, sir.
Yeah.
You have like people that manage your money.
I fully
agree. You know you have a wedding coming up. Why not set aside some of those billions for your wedding?
Mr. Beast has a guy in his phone that he could call to say, hey, I need to get a little wedding money. I need to get my hands on a little wedding money, right?
Yeah.
Like he could do that. Right, I don't know how difficult of a process that is
well,
to get stuff.
Who do you
stuff,
call, Roz, when you need money?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I call Mr. Beast. No, I call my
money. Rich millionaire.
But yeah, you have a guy. Like you know,
come on, man.
Like people with that kind of money, you got a guy. I got a guy. Not that I don't have a great guy. I mean, he is awesome, but he doesn't do a lot of work for me. Right, I'm not Mr. Beast. Right, I don't got $1 billion. But if you got $1 billion, you should have two guys in your phone. Not just one guy, because what if something that guy chokes on a chicken bone, right? You got to have two guys in your phone. Two guys.
What a sweet lady Mama Beast is, huh?
I don't know if I would. I mean, I'm sure he set her up nicely.
Yeah, but still.
Right? Like, I'm sure.
That's really nice. The Mama Beast would be like, yeah, no problem, son.
Yeah, but a Mr. Beast wedding has to be an extravagant wedding, though. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Mr. Beast's wedding needs to be like the bridal party on a hot air balloon over top of, like, Dodgers Stadium, right? With, you know...
And who could survive a jump?
A reunited cast of friends, you know, who all learned how to play piccolo for the event, you know, all doing it together. Like the most mad ways you could spend money, you would spend money, right? Like, that has to be the Mr. Beast wedding. It can't just be, like, a normal affair. So, if Mr. Beast goes to his ma and says, hey, ma... I need, you know, 1.6 for my wedding.
She's like, cool. You transfer?
Cool, right? Like, I can only do 2,000 a day, so let me know when the wedding is. Right?
Let's backtrack this.
That's a lot of money, though, man. Jesus.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's official. Mariah Carey's new track is out tomorrow called Type Dangerous. Here's the actual teaser for that. Looking for the dangerous type. Looking for the dangerous.
Mid at best.
Damon Morey.
It's fantastic. I have to say that.
What do you really feel? I need
it
an
sounds
honest
like, it, honestly, it sounds like every other new song she's put out in the last few years.
So, just to say,
it's not bad, but yeah, it's not good.
It's not good.
No, not
it's
at all.
Not good.
No.
At all.
No.
Right?
Not
Let
good.
Me hear a little bit of it again. It's very basic, I would say.
Oh, if that. Looking for the danger.
I'll also say this. I think that when you put so many people on a track where everybody has a hand, and these tracks have 45 people working on them, and I think they're doing such a disservice, and I think that it is such a crime to produce something to the point of where Mariah Carey is nothing like Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. That sounds like AI.
I was gonna say it sounds like bad AI.
It sounds that's bad what that AI. Sounds like.
But can that's we agree she sounds half decent?
She doesn't
no,
sound
she
like
doesn't.
Anything.
We cannot. The answer is no. We can't.
I'm just trying to think of like, can we say one positive thing?
No, because I'm trying to be honest, Maureen. I would like the same from you. That's all I ever ask.
I'm being honest. I said
no, you don't like the song, man.
I don't like.
You
this
don't
song.
Like this song, and
just
and
say
I
it, man.
I think it's such an unbelievable no, disservice,
bro.
To take one of the most iconic voices in pop and do this.
I know, yeah. But the Canadian lambs look to me.
It doesn't matter.
No, they don't.
No,
you
they
liar.
Don't. You, yeah, they look for honesty. That's all they want. Otherwise, you sound like a shill, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, but no, to me, I don't know. Like that nothing says Mariah Carey about
it
that
sounds
song.
Lifeless.
Thank you.
Be honest.
No, that's a great way to put
no
it, Jim.
Soul. No. There's
nothing.
No high notes.
No, there's nothing, man. Oh, that's sad. I was hoping for something better.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
CAA released their list of the worst roads in Ontario.
Let me guess, Bathurst.
Nope.
Wow.
Shepherd's on there.
East or west?
Shepherd West.
Oh, okay.
Shepherd West. Yeah. Cider Road in Fort Erie. Hey, shout out to Fort Erie. Highway 50 in Caledon. Levesque Road in South Frontenac. Wow, what? They really went deep in this. Here, Ontario Street, Mississauga, Eglinton Avenue West in Toronto.
Of course.
It's terrible. County Road 49 in Prince Edward County. Jeez.
What? There's no one on that.
That's number three.
That's the third
That's
worst
the
road
third.
In Ontario?
Yeah. I guess there's bodies under it or something. I don't know. Barton Street East in Hamilton at number two.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There
always.
We go. And Aberdeen Avenue in Hamilton, number one.
Aberdeen. Yo, that's second
every
year in a row.
No, third.
Second,
every year.
No, second year in a row. Barton Street must be so happy because Barton was number one
forever
in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah.
And then last year, Aberdeen took that top spot.
Yes, they did.
Back to back, huh?
Yes, they did.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
They said that there was no hype and that all the talk of the cost of the tariffs and the pre-order problems and putting it on sale and then pulling it off. But the hype for Nintendo Switch is real. I saw last night for the first time in years, massive actual lineups out in front of stores at midnight from physical people. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came out. So this is 8 years after the original version hit shelves. This is the first iteration of the Switch to come out since then. Selling the first one sold 150 million units, according to Nintendo, making it the third best-selling console of all time, right behind the PS2 and the Nintendo DS. Mm-hmm. Here's the lineup situation. So everybody went to pick up their pre-orders. 70% of Best Buy customers, 70% of Best Buy customers indicated that they wanted to pick up their Switch 2 in-store, and the vast majority of those customers showed up last night at midnight.
Wow.
Here's a clip of the guy from one GameStop where he was the first one
On the very bottom.
The first Twitch too, bro.
Just this?
Yep, just that today.
Bye.
Woo-hoo! Wow.
Hey. Yo!
I saw a bunch of other posts where people were paying people for their spot in line.
Really?
At like the last minute.
Because right now, you cannot... You can pre-order, yeah. Well, before today, you cannot order online to have it delivered to you.
No.
You have to physically go into a store.
Which was so smart of them.
Yeah.
So when's the last, like, honestly, remember when iPhones used to come
iPhones,
out? And there was big lineups, and it was awesome because you could talk to these people, and everybody's freaking out. But now there's no more lines on anything, and it was such a brilliant move by Nintendo to not deliver that, you know, if you pre-ordered, you had to go pick it up. Because the lineups last night were, there were two lines. There was one lineup for everybody that all had pre-sales, hundreds of people. And one lineup on the other side that were all people who were just walk-ins hoping to get one, right? Like Best Buy's had 400 people waiting in line.
If I didn't have to work the hours that I do, I would have been in that line.
You would have, huh?
Yeah. By the way, in Canada, Nintendo Switch 2, like the base model,
$629.99. Damn.
If you want the bundle that comes with Mario Kart, $699.
Jesus, that's expensive. Oh my God.
Guys, I'm giving in to the hype though.
Are you?
Yeah.
People are freaking out, man.
Yeah.
What are people going to do with their old Switch?
Oh.
You still play. You still play. You keep them.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jessie J took to social media earlier this week to let her fans in on her sort of future plans, immediate future plans, after being diagnosed with early breast cancer. Here's Jessie J.
I was diagnosed with early breast cancer. I'm highlighting the word early. Cancer sucks in any form, but I'm holding on to the word early. I have been in and out of tests throughout this whole period. I just wanted to be open and share it. One, because selfishly, I do not talk about it enough. I'm not processing it because I'm working so hard. I also know how much sharing in the past has helped me with other people, giving me their love and support and also their own stories. I'm an open book. It breaks my heart that so many people are going through so much. Similar and worse. That's the bit that kills me. I just want to let you guys know it wasn't something I'd planned. I'm getting to keep my nipples. That's good. It's a weird topic and a weird situation. It's a very dramatic way to get a boob job. I am going to disappear for a bit after summertime ball to have my surgery. And I will come back with massive and more music.
Aw, Jessie J, sending you so much love, girl.
Tons and tons and tons. That's tough. 37 years old, too. 37.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Donald Trump is resurrecting his travel ban from his first term as U.S. president, signing a proclamation waiting Wednesday night, preventing people from a dozen countries from entering the U.S. Those countries include Afghanistan, Burma, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Additionally, there are restrictions for people from Sierra Leone, Togo, and Turkmenistan, as well as Venezuela. Here's Donald Trump.
Very simply, we cannot have open migration from any country where we cannot safely and reliably vet and screen those who seek to enter the United States. That is why today I am signing a new executive order placing travel restrictions on countries including Yemen, Somalia, Haiti, Libya, and numerous others.
So this was very similar to what he did in 2017, and then it was struck down, but then it was retooled and actually was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2018. And it does make exemptions for people who are currently visa holders as well as permanent residents.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oilers win game one in OT.
Woo, baby!
Back to Nugent Hopkins. McDavid. It falls! Scores! Leon Draisaitl! Game one hero!
What a game, man.
OT. I watched about an hour of it last night.
I watched the whole thing. Good comeback.
Yeah, it's a good hockey game.
Can I ask a question?
Not yet. What is it, Maury?
I was just going to say the CN Tower was lit up for
Oilers.
I was just about to
say that.
Spoiler alert.
Jeez.
Well, I don't know. I'm not in his head.
Just let the man speak.
So, yeah, so the CN Tower was lit up in Oilers colors, and which I highly disagree with. However, the CN Tower, just so everybody knows, is run federally. It has nothing to do with the actual city of Toronto or the province. They have no say over what goes on with the colors, so they want to be all, yes, it's Canada's team, and then that way we get Oilers colors in the city of Toronto. So that is the whole reason for that. But more importantly, every year it seems that teams that go deep in the playoffs, they get like a new anthem, right? They change the song.
Okay.
If you remember... the Avalanche did All the Small Things in 2022.
Okay.
The Blues did Gloria. Remember that song where everybody's like, play Gloria? And Pam from The Office, who's from St. Louis, was like baking cakes with like play Gloria on it.
Okay.
So this year, it's Pink Pony Club for the Edmonton Oilers.
Really?
And they play it after the game and they play it in the dressing room. And so here, I want to play you this clip quickly. This is Biz from Spittin' Chiclets and TNT explaining Pink Pony Club, because this conversation came up to Wayne Gretzky.
Pink Pony, is that a band or is that a song?
It's a woman. She sings a song, Pink Pony Club, and it's famous. It's on the radio.
Canadian? American?
I think it's an American girl, but all of a sudden it popped off. I believe she won a few Grammys, and now they're rocking it in the locker room, so I'm
Pink
curious.
Pony.
Pink Pony. It's, yeah. It's the new generation, Wayne.
I gotta get that. My ringtone.
Right, two guys have...
You guys
my
have
ringtone.
No
my ringtone.
Bro.
So the Oilers are using Pink Pony Club as their victory song and also in the dressing room after a win. So when they walk into the dressing room, and they've been doing this since the beginning of the playoffs, while the Oilers have adopted Pink Pony Club as their song, the players have refused to reveal the reason behind it. So Evan Bouchard said, we're going to keep that one within the team. And then Calvin Picard said, I know exactly where it started, but I don't know if I want to let this secret out. I know exactly when because I was there, but I think I'm going to keep it tight to the chest. So,
I wonder if it was one of the guys maybe was caught singing the song and then
I mean,
the rest of the team was like, just like, you know, going in on him, just breaking his balls about it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a gay anthem. It's like Chapel Row went to, it's about going to a gay club for the first time
in LA.
Yeah. She went to a gay club for the first time and feeling great. So I'm just wondering what the actual origin was like. You know what I mean? Like now I'm suspect, like did somebody do something that somebody thought was like,
will we ever know?
No, I don't think you'll ever know. I think that if
maybe somebody was singing it very loudly, while taking a shower.
I don't know.
Maybe I think I'm on Mocha. It's in the shower.
By the way, Panthers Oilers game 2 tomorrow
Friday
8 p.m. on Sportsnet.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kylie Jenner's plastic surgeon Garth Fisher is now being inundated with calls. So this woman named Rachel Leary went on TikTok and she sort of like let out this desperate plea for Kylie Jenner to share information on what kind of boob job she got.
She got a boob job?
Listen to this.
This is a TikTok for Kylie Jenner, okay? If you're not Kylie Jenner and you don't care about boob jobs, plastic surgery, just keep scrolling. Girl, please, can you just tell us? I promise you, my followers, lovely. Safe space on here. Please, can you just tell me /us/ anyone that's interested what it is that you asked for when you had your boobs done? To me, you have got what I am like looking for, like to have done in terms of like a boob job. It's like the most perfect natural looking boob job ever. They're still big, but whatever way you've had the implants, if they are implants or if you had like fat transfer, to me it is perfection. That is what I aspire mine to look like.
Bro, she don't got fake boobs.
So
Kylie Jenner?
Please. So that was Rachel Leary's video. She just threw it up on TikTok. Like, she's not even famous. And then Kylie Jenner jumped in her comments and wrote 445 cc's, moderate profile, half under the muscle, silicone, Garth Fisher. Hope this helps. Right. So
what?
So Garth Fisher is her doctor. And then Garth Fisher was like, I'm honored to be acknowledged by Kylie. Her kind words were unexpected, but truly appreciated. And then Kris Jenner jumped into his comment and said, you did my first facelift in 2011, 14 years ago.
Family discount. Yeah.
But anyway, so Garth Fisher now, Dr. Garth Fisher tells TMZ that he is now getting 150 calls a day, a day for everybody who wants Kylie's boobs.
Guys, up until now, I just thought they were real.
What are you talking about? Why would you say that? Like, who's listening right now that, like, is going to, like, come down on you? for acknowledging that somebody got a boob job. Like, what's the harm in that?
This is a safe space.
What's the harm in that?
I thought they were real.
You thought they were real. Mm-hmm. This is why you always fall for things, man. You have no sense. You have no sense. I've had conversations with you.
Bro, those are private, man.
We've talked about this.
Bro, come on, man.
I actually think I remember a quote.
Dog, yo, what is this? Snitch hotline?
Oh, no. I'm joking.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Walton Goggins and Amy Lou Wood from whatchamacallit?
White Lotus.
So they finally did an interview together where I guess they're squashing the rumor that there was some sort of feud because he unfollowed her on Instagram and I think she did the same. And then she got torn apart on Saturday Night Live and he called the whole thing hilarious. And then everybody was like, well, they hate each other. Maybe there was an affair because that other cast member on the show was like, you know, it was like summer camp and there was, you know, lovers and fighters and everything else. So Walton Goggins says this: there is no feud. I love this woman madly, and she was so important to me, insisting on that there is no sort of like bad blood between them. This is to Variety. There is no feud. She is love, and I know that, and I know that I am that for her too. We care about each other very deeply. And then Amy Lou said, I think it's such a comment on where we are culturally, she said, that over the fury online, she goes on to say that it's irrelevant and we don't give a bleep about Instagram. And then he went on to say that they asked him, well, why did you unfollow her? And then he says, I unfollow everybody that I work with because it's a way of saying goodbye to the character and all this stuff. So
sure.
Anyway, they wound up doing an interview together for Variety because they were like, you got to squash this, or maybe they decided to squash it. I don't know, but
he owes her a follow.
Please.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.